Okay, now, there you go.
I'm doing the Heilige Messe.
And here we are, and Daf Lamed Dalet, which happens to be Daf Beis of Masechet Midot. Actually, doesn't happen to be any Daf at all, since it's the Mishnayot, but it's okay. So here we are, Masechet Midot, Shnat Tov Shin Samach Hei. Perfect time for starting Masechet Midot. We just finished the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash with the yesterday. We took care of the Mizbeach, and today we're going to find out where are we going to put those stones that were on the original Mizbeach that the Malcha Yovan messed up. And today we will learn about that. I mean, now that we've cleaned up after Hanukkah, we want to know where to store all of this stuff. So, Zuck der Heilige Mishnah and find on der Heilige Perim. There we go. B'shloshan mikomot ha-kohanim shomrim b'beit ha-mikdash, as we've already seen, there were three places where the Kohanim were shomrim, 21 places where the Levim were shomrim. We recall that there's a machlokes as to whether the Levim were also shomer in the places of the Kohanim, which would make 24, or whether they were also shomer in the makom of the Kohanim, but they were only 18 other places, which still only makes 21, or whether they were not shomer bichlal in the mikdash of the Kohanim, and there were 24 total places of shmira, 21 of which were done by Levim. So in three places, the Kohanim were shomer b'beis hamikdash. This was in the Beis Aftinus and the Beit HaNitzotz, and these were Aliyot, if you recall, from Masechet Tamid. We're going to be taking a look at these places soon, so let's hold off until we get to going through the Sha'arim of the Azara and so on. The Beit Aftinus and the Beit HaNitzotz, and the Beit HaMoked. And the Beit HaMoked, remember, was that complex construction which is shown over here on your map, which is, what number is it? Mem Olive. Here, right in back of the Shar HaKorban, and it's that complex, has four different lishakot on the side, has the stairwell going downstairs, and the whole business. So we'll talk about that when we get there. The Levim Besrim Ve'echad Makom Chamisha Sharei Har HaBayit, five on the five Sharim of the Har HaBayit, plus another four on the inside, one on each corner, total of nine mitocho. This was all on the inside of the shar and on the inside of the pina. When it came to the azara, the chamisha, chamisha, shari azara. Again, we're doing this quickly because we're going to be detailing these sharim in a few moments. Four, again, in the azara, also on the four corners. Here it was mibachutz, and you remember from Tamid where the Gemara explained the reason that we're in one place. In the Har HaBayit, it was Bifnim, was because you're allowed to sit on Har HaBayit. Mashenken in the Azor, you're not allowed to sit, and therefore Shemer, who would get very tired and would crash, would have nowhere to sit down. So they did the Shemira Mibachutz. Ve'achad v'lishkat ha-korban, ve'achad v'lishkat ha-parochet, ve'achad la'achorei Beit HaKaporet. Now the Achorei Beit HaKaporet, we know that where that is. That was all the way in the back of the Makom HaMikdash. And we have actually some nice pictures of what they're...
When you say Bechutz, you mean outside here, right?
No, inside the Chel, but outside of the wall. So here we have...
Where would that be?
Is it all by chain?
Where is the outside?
Let me show you this. This has a little bit better... Although it's hard to see it. Yeah, how about on the big one? Maybe on the big one, does it show up better? I think it's the same picture.
It looks like the same picture.
Yeah. Okay, you see the Beit HaMoked, which is easy to pick out because it's got the kippah on top. Right there.
What, the dome?
Yeah, the dome. Remember, that was the bayit of the kippah.
Okay.
So that's the Beit HaMoked. That's the easiest spot.
So it wasn't on the ground.
It wasn't on the ground. Okay, the Beit HaNitzotz is further up past the Beit HaMoked, towards the back. You can't see it in this picture, though.
Which
because
okay?
It's covered by this.
This is the basement. Okay. But it's not even resting
right
there.
The Shar HaNitzot is right over here, but it's hidden by the bayit over here. The Acharei Beit HaKaparet, of course, is between the wall and the back of the Heichal. So this entire area was called the Acharei Beit HaKaparet. Okay. Then you have the Lishkat Beit HaPtinas, which is on the other side. And that is this little building over here on top of one of the Sharim. You see going in?
Okay.
So that's the Beit HaPtinas. We'll be getting to the detail of these Sharim in a moment.
Yeah, but I thought we had learned that these were not, these little overhangs that they're sitting on were not stone. It looks like stone here, right? Didn't we learn there was eights or no?
There was no eights, on the contrary. It was Shalvini. Kasha was, if it's eights, how am I allowed to build it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but look what we have.
They have layers of like different elements.
Yes, this was art scroll envy that led me to. I looked at Abba's Gemara yesterday and put in the little envelope for safekeeping and noticed it's pretty color matched. And I said, talking to Yaakov, I said, is it worth 275 shekels just not to let Abba have it all over us? He said, maybe try the temple store. Who knows? Maybe we can get something. So I don't know. What do you think? All of this will equal that one page in the art school. But we tried. Okay. Yeah, so the Beit HaMoked is the easiest thing to pick out because of the dome. And now we know the rest of the story over here, in which Ishar HaBayit, HaYimachazer HaKol Mishmar U'Mishmar, the Shomer of the Shomrim was called the Ishar HaBayit. You remember that we had a machlokas as to whether he had the right, you'll recall about how he would burn the clothing of people who fell asleep on a job. And the question was whether he had the right to attack Kohanim, whether he would only attack Levim. Because remember, it says the sound of a Levi shouting, you know. So the question is, would a Kohen be beaten up? The big day Kohuna Lachari certainly can't burn because of the problem of Levitasun Ken Lashem Lokechem. It's like Mechikat Hashem. So perhaps some learn because of that he wasn't in charge of Kohanim at all. And that he was only, that's why it keeps talking about Levi. And the Taina, that's why it's called Ishar HaBayit, because he doesn't have, he's not in charge of the ones who were showing there all the way inside. I'll just say, no, there's no enough Kamina between the Kohen and Levim, other than the actual Sreifas Big Dekuna, obviously. He's called Ishar HaBayit because the HaBayit is the general shame for everything. It subsumes the Azora and the Kodesh as well. So he's in charge of the entire mitcham of the Harabai, including the Azarot inside. And what happens here, you remember that he would walk around with Avukot Okim Lefanav, he had his stormtroopers, and they would walk around with these torches. V'chol mishmar she'eno omeid, the girsa that we had before in Tamid, is ve'omer lo. Any mishmar which would not stand at attention when he came and give him the code greeting. Ish HaRabayit, Shalom Alecha. Nikar Shehu Yashin. Uh-oh. It was clear that he was fast asleep. Chovto B'maklo. What a rude awakening. He would get beaten up. He would beat him up with the stick in his hand. Rishut Hayalo Lisrof Eksuto. And he also had permission under certain circumstances, maybe recidivists, and he could also burn their clothing. Vehim omrim, you know what people always say, gosh, what is all that noise up there in the Azara? Ma kol ba'azara. Oh, that's nothing special. Kol ben Levi lokeh u'begadav nisrafim. The sounds of terror of a poor Levi who has been found asleep. She'ashan lo ha'mishmaro. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, pa'am achat matzu et achiima, yoshen v'sarfut k'suto. From which, by the way, the Yerushalmi derives that the only important point over here is to know that Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is the Tana who was shown in Midos. This is not the Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, by the way, that we usually refer to. It's a earlier Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, the time of Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, so that he would be he was at the time of the Mikdash.
Is there a particular reason why they dafka burn his clothes? I mean, any kohen in their clothes to do the avodah?
No, they didn't burn big day clothes. That's a good question, though. Why precisely clothes? Or is there a special?
Well, I didn't even think of that. Did they lay them in special clothes?
No.
So he's going to run around stalkers?
Well, I imagine. Well, they supplied him with some temporary...
is there any suffering? He might have had a certain dream of certain times he fell asleep and said...
Nah.
Well, he kept the Gal Gadol off all
night. Yeah, but we're not concerned over here.
Right.
Yes.
It's a biblical position called the Isha Sheru Habayis. There's four pshatim as the Isha Sheru Habayis. So one which is kind of one which is the Amarko in charge of things. Okay. So is it possible to point to those? Would you say it's the same position?
Your guess is as good as mine, I'm sure. That certainly sounds reasonable. If that's the way the Mishnah refers to it, that would be continuing the washing of the nub.
Why don't we have the same
Mishnah repeated
in one of the sector right after another?
The standard turns. I mean, the only part we have really is just the first few words. The rest we quoted there, but we didn't have the Mishnahs. The only part that's the same is the Shlosha Mikomos Zakon Yipshom. Yeah, I mean, over there we had to say it, Lutzerach the Seder HaTamid, because we were talking about coming in. But we weren't interested in defining the details here. We're saying it, let's say, the definition of the Mekemes, and so we introduce it with the points of particular interest, which are the Mekemes of Shemira, and then we go directly into describing the actual Sha'arim and the description of the various places. It's a great psicha to meet us. Why are Sha'arim and Psichal of Midas?
No, start with Mishnah Gimel, or start with Perek Beis. Why start with these?
Because these it's like the points for, what do they call it? What the Chinese do again?
The acupuncture.
Acupuncture points. These are the areas that are sensitive, right? So we're identifying now, first of all, it's like in Lonely Planet. You start off with the points of interest, central points of interest, brief description, and then you get into the details of, here's the geography, which is the next thing that we do, the next parak, you know, the Harabai, Sayyid Hamish, and Meir Zahm,
I
mean.
I use the rough guys, I never know where the Lonely Planet
comes. Listen here. I mean, the Lonely Planet has to be based on something. Okay. So, Chamisha She'arim, Ayula Har Habayi. There were five different sha'arim to the Har HaBayis. We're starting now on the outside here of your... this map doesn't have the Har HaBayis at all, but here on this picture, on the large picture, so we have here all of the sha'arim. Does the art school have something like this? Does it, huh?
Let's see.
Does it? Come on, Abba, no.
Which one?
We
no Arabayas, huh?
We won't talk about
that. How about if you move over to this side of the room? No, that's of the Azorah.
Oh.
Listen, here, this is the Azorah part inside. But here we're talking about the Arabayas.
Hmm?
Yeah. So here we start with the Dorom, Sharei Chulda min HaDorom. And that's not
that
joke. You can't say Sherry Holder.
You can see the exit.
Oh, that's terrible.
You can see the exit.
Yeah, you can see the steps that go down to Sherry Holder.
Yeah.
But they don't show Sherry Holder. That's ridiculous. These are the stairs that go down at the Sherry Holder, but it's off the picture, unfortunately. You know, that's crazy. There must be another picture. Here we go. Thank you. Here we go. So here is the large, see the beautiful, this is still there, by the way. You can simply walk down Master Shear and see all of these stairs. And the Sharei Chulda, the parts that are over here.
The
southern side, it's all here. Everything you see in this picture is extant.
What relationship is this to the first temple?
That's at the museum.
No, this has no relationship to the first temple because the Har HaBayis has been vastly expanded by Hurdus. So this area really is the Kotel Maravi is a part of an expansion area. It wasn't even, I mean, it's a retaining wall for Hurdus's Where does this expansion work?
So Shai Yisrael,
but the main activity was here on the southern side. And the entrance is still, I mean, it's overwhelming. Have you been down there? I've sure many times. Probably take groups down there.
It helps you.
There's a suggestion that we should have our seum either overlooking Har Habayis or something.
That's a great suggestion. I mean, I don't see why we don't simply, when we bring our carbon titan, for the completion, we should have it indoors. I'm sure we could probably rent something under one of the asadros. Okay, so we start from the south. This was where Yer David was, of course. So the major traffic was coming in from this area.
From
Shari Chulda. It was called Shari Chulda because there is a Kabbalah that this was the spot, even though it's not the same place, but relative to the Har Habayit that was. In other words, if you expand it outwards, Chulda was between the two southern walls.
What do you mean?
Chulda HaNeviyah. It was a prophetess by the name of Chulda, and she was going to give over her Neviyah to that location. And so they called her Shari Chulda because this is where she would hold court. You've never heard of Chulda HaNeviyah. Now it's the first the Gemara points out that it's called a weasel. And it says the other.
Is that what Rabbi Akiva saw?
This is the put down of women. You never heard that part of Gemara? Two women that made it up there on the top. Well, one of them is called a wasp, and the other one's called a weasel.
That's called a bee.
A bee.
The Rabbi Akiva mentioned that we found the tunnels that ended there, and they feel like a weasel's tunnels, which would lend itself.
Very good.
To that being the actual wall of the 500. Almost, perhaps.
What did he find?
And those actually
being
Shari Chulda. What did
he find? You call it Chulda because a Chulda is a Chulda. There's no reason to say that it really has to be because Chulda is a Chulda. It makes sense. Call Yoshve Chole.
I'm sorry, I thought it was Machlokis.
It is, but I'm saying there's no to build on it. It makes a great deal of sense that walls that you had to tunnel underneath would be called Shari Chulda. You know, we would say it even today. If you were talking about, you know, some kind of honeycomb works or whatever, we always call it Hashem that. I mean, that's probably the reason.
A mole?
Yeah, it is a mole. Something that lives underground. You're right. Chamisha sharim ayul harabayit sharei chulda min hadarom. And as Rav Barnea is pointing out, they're actually, you needed to act like a mole to use that, because you had to work your way up. After you go into the gate, you had to walk your way up to the, it's like one of those London Underground things where you're almost falling backwards as the stairs are going up.
After you go through the gate.
Besides all the tremendous number of stairs to get up there, I mean, it's quite so. But the Chulda part was probably the moving stairs, and that was Okay, let's move on here. And they are Mishamshim Knisah V'Yitziyah. That was the major Knisah V'Yitziyah to the populace, which was coming in from the south. Again, remember, this is the Knisah to the Har Habayit. It doesn't mean that you came into the Azora from the south, necessarily. We'll see what you would do when you would come in. And then you had Shar Kipunus Min HaMa'arav. That was also Mishamesh Knisah V'Yitziyah. From the west side, which is closest to us, this is where we are, on the west side here, and the Kipunus, which is, it's not clear whether that was named after an individual who donated money. There's a shita that says that Kipunus means gardener in Greek. Maybe that was the location of the Yinot Vradim that were made up in Nevuah. But in any event, that too was a popular shar, used with Nisav Yitziyah.
What part of the well, the western wall was in the northern end of this, or southern end of the western wall?
The shar Kipunus is basically closer to the south. I thought that the upper area here was seen as continuing along the wall. Is this the old reconstruction or the latest?
It's around here.
It was originally thought that Robinson's Arch was part of a bridge. That one is showing you just as a staircase. Right, that's correct. I don't know what those are referring to.
It's a road.
This is where the Sha'arim are today.
This here?
Prevent the car entrance.
Yeah, this is something.
Area behind the Kotel Maravi. By the way, you'll notice
but
this picture.
That's one end. That's like from Wilson's
this Arch. Picture is very similar to the actual construction, the modern construction now, that was just completed a few years ago, around the area of the Kotel Maravi. It was made to look like this. it's basically a reconstruction of this bridge.
Where did they make it?
Where we walked in the other night, and they wouldn't let you go through with your computer.
There?
Yeah, this is what you were walking through. Remember it looked like that?
Yeah,
that's a reconstruction of this bridge.
Oh.
About the bridge part.
Yeah. That's around, so it's around the area of the Kotel, present day Kotel.
Yeah, the Kotel is more here. On this side of the bridge. But yeah.
More north.
The Kotel is more north. What are you pointing at?
The davening area is here.
The davening area is there.
Here. Then there's a line of buildings built off of this when you go in. And then Wilson's Arch and like one left room into the Kotel tunnels is this bridge.
What about the tunnel where we're davening? What about the tunnel where we're davening?
The tunnel goes down here.
The tunnel where we daven is here up to and into this arch.
The tunnel where we daven.
The open tunnel, not the underground tunnel. You have the buildings sitting outside.
The underground tunnel that you need a key to get into. And that's
no.
That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about two different things here.
Where we
I told you, the open tunnel.
The underground tunnel
that
we have to get into.
The underground tunnel continues onwards here.
Right, to the end, right?
Yes, but we're just talking about the location of the bridge. What are we talking about?
Fine. All right, we're using different words. Okay. Right. Yeah, I'm calling the tunnel the place that you don't usually go into.
But the Shakamtinus, the Rav said
it's south. So is Barnea saying that no, the Kotel area is actually to the south of Shakipanus, because
yeah,
you're saying
this is the
arch that you see inside. Okay.
So therefore, the Shakimah is the tunnel where we're diving, right? That should be
right there. Yeah, the tunnel where we're diving.
The Shaila is that we have four doorways today on the west, which Josephus mentions. Are any of those Shakiponos? And if so, which one is most likely? Mm-hmm. As the Shlishar holds, it's the one that's underground. And Damaha just agreed with her.
Okay. You'll have to take us down and point out all of these Shorim on the spot.
Yeah, let's go.
And that's also Mishamish Knesset Yitzhiya. Now, Shar Tadi is Min HaTzafon. Lo hayam mishamish klum, which isn't quite accurate, but it means, in other words, it was not, because we'll see later on that a kohen she'ira bo keri, according to some shitas everybody holds, would go out of Shar Tadi, which is one excuse for calling it Shar Tadi, because there's a claim that Tadi is a lashon of Sanua. So, and lo hayam mishamish klum, Shar HaMizrachi, which was the gate facing the whole area of Har Azazit. Over there was a tzura of Shushan Habira above it. That was the Shar Shushan, the main gate. And that gate, the reason it was Shar Shushan, is the Gemara says that they should remember where they came from. And that was a cover to Malkei Poras. So.
But that was the main gate. How come most people came through the Shar Chodel? Because
they
lived there. In the south, in Yeradab, in the south.
They lived there. But the cover, the gate that is Mechubad, is the gate that actually faces into the...
Ice, because it's facing the...
Yeah, and you can actually remember that the Kohen Gadol would... we'll see why I say Kohen Gadol, but as the Mishnah will say, the Kohen Gadol, and at the time the Shrita of the Horah, that would be the gate, and you would have to look over that area to go straight to be able to see the inside of the Shar to the Heichal.
We call today Shar Rachamim, the Golden Gate.
That's today.
Is that this?
I don't know. Is it in the same location
that's
as Shar Mizrach?
It's not on the Dome of the Rock.
Not yet. That's one of
the
riots that the Dome of the Rock is in the wrong place. Is that if Shar Rachamim is the original Shar Mizrach, obviously, then the. Then it was put
line.
Not in. It should be one line. Since it isn't, there's a machlokas among archaeologists whether the Arabs built mamish over the Mokum of the Echol, they stopped off the Mokum.
Or just like we have in the West, that there's more than what's mentioned in the Mishnah, it could be it's another one.
Yeah.
What's
so the label Resnick fell into a hole in the graveyard there and claims to have found a gate opposite the Dome of the Rock.
Another gate. What does that mean? Claims to have found. There's no way to somebody else to find it.
He fell into a hole.
And a malach appeared to him.
No, he fell into a hole, and then he was in the lower area facing the southern wall.
I'm saying that cannot be found again. It's an experiment that was only done once and can never be confirmed.
You're risking the Arabs and political reactions, etc. But if you would like to, we'll ask them to come in and point out the place, and we'll go into the morning or whatever.
Shah Rahman is connected. It's not connected.
Right.
So therefore, if that would be Shah Mizrahi, then it would be...
You have to pay. If that's
Shar
Mizrahi, then that's not
Makom HaMikdash. Shabbo, Kohen Gadol, Soref HaTapara. The reason it says Kohen Gadol, there is a Madiyom who says Dafka Kohen Gadol would burn the Paraduma. But sometimes that it's not necessary for the Mishnah to be going according to Madiyom who holds it has to be the Kohen Gadol, because the minute was, obviously, anybody remember that the Paro was called Al Shem. The individual was Soref, so everybody wanted his little chance at eternity. So if the Kohen Gadol had the right to be Soref, so then he would be Soref. And here's a lovely picture, thank you. Here's a lovely picture of what it would be like standing on Har HaZeitim, burning the Par Aduma, looking straight across. This is really great. Looking straight across. Oh, yeah, there was the bridge that you were... be careful, as you notice, it has the... has the protection against Tuma by having an oil built one on top of the other, so even if it goes through one, the Tuma is prevented from...
The only two.
Let's chat it up. Okay.
What's the feature?
That prevents Tuma from affecting anyone.
Oh, that double...
Yeah, a double construction.
Kippa
prevents Tuma from getting through.
You need two layers.
Well, what if there's Tuma beneath the built area? So that way you have another cholo on top of the area that was wall underneath.
Yeah, you want to play Gaza.
Okay, and there you have the everyone who was being asek in the para would all go together, shebo, through that, Shar Mizrach, the Kohen, Hasarefa Tapara, the Chol Misadeh, that's all those who were going along to do the work, would go out, Yotzim Lahar Mishkah, which is another word for Mishicha, Mishichat Hashem, and Har HaMashkah, which is Har HaZeisim. There, you could see from that area, which is the other Girsa, Shebo Ro'eh Kohen Gadol, starting from, if you're already outside, it isn't really true Shebo, because it's over, it's not through it, but we'll see all of that. And they would go out to Har HaMishkah. Now, coming inside to the Azorah, Shiva Sharim Ayuba Azorah, Shlosha Betzafon Veshlosha Bedarom Vechad Bemizrach. We had our main gate in the east. Because even if you came into the south gate of the Shar Chulda, into the Har HaBayit, you would circle around the Har HaBayit anyway. So anyone, you would never just walk into a gate and walk out of the same gate. That's not covered. It's like a tourist. You would actually end up walking around the entire Har HaBayit area. Now, the three gates that we had, Shebedorom, the three gates that we had at Dorom include the Shar HaDelek, Shenilo Shar HaKorban, Shlishilo Shar HaMayim. Now, we had a nice picture earlier, right, of that area. I think it was earlier. No, actually.
These three shots.
No, it's
here,
later.
Right?
Here. Right here. It shows up very beautifully.
These three here, right?
Yeah.
These three.
You see the three gates? You can see it on the big picture here. Three stairwells running up. Each one of them has on top of a little building. And this is an artist's impression of what it would be like.
And there's a model as well.
What's that?
It's a model as well, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the other side. What is this? This is the Tzofan. I took the wrong picture.
Page.
What happens when you hold it backwards? Where's the page club sign? Oh, sorry, they don't appear. So here's the Shar HaMayim, all the way to the... Why was it called Shar HaMayim? So it's... Apparently they used to bring the water for the Nisuch HaMayim from it, but there's also a Kabbalah that the water that comes out from the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim that is expressed in the Nevi'ah of Yecheskel is meant to pour out of the Shaar HaMayim after it comes out of the...
Why do I see four there and then three on this? What is it? I see four there and I see three here. What's the difference here?
Because we'll see. Later on we're going to discuss. Remember, there's a Machlokas. There's a Mandiyamra of there were seven Shaarim, which we spoke about in Tami.
Okay.
According to Rava, there's a Mandiyamra of Shmo, there's a Mandiyamra of Shiva, and a Mandiyamra of Chamisha. It was a Machlokas whether this Mishnah necessarily holds only Chamisha, you know, or that there were five places that needed Shmira, two places that didn't need Shmira, which is why it's a Chamisha Shaari Azara. But here, this Mishnah is describing the Shiva Shaari and Azara. Okay. So Shlosha B'Tzofer, Shlosha B'Dorom, and we're explaining the Dorom. The Shaar HaDelek, which is starting from the other side, going all the way to the west, the Shaar HaDelek, it means exactly what it says. It's the place where the fuel was brought. So the Eitzim were brought in for fuel for the Mizbeach, the Abiyusas as well.
Shaar HaMayim is the one in the far east.
Shaar HaMayim is all the way on the other side, right? That's the eastern one. And that was where the water comes in for the Nizach HaMayim, goes out. Bezrat Hashem, and we could use that extra order. Sure. And then we have the Shaar HaKorban. The Shaar HaKorban would be also, remember, Kodshei Kodoshim were always on the Tzad Sofer. And Tzad Doraim, if you have Korbanis that are kosher, but Tzad Doraim, it's the Shaar of Kodshei Kali.
We want to discuss the difference between Shaar
B'Choris
and Shaar
Korban.
And there's a change here. This map says Shaar
B'Choris. It's just because Shaar B'Choris is just for Kachin Kali.
Okay.
It's a way of referring to Kachin Kali.
As opposed to Shaar
Korban,
which would be less too
ambiguous. I suppose, yeah. Shaar HaBechoros is the Girsa that's actually Mekubal. It's a Shaar. It's the Lishna Shaar Korban. That's what you can't Shaar
Korban.
Shebin Mizrach is the famous Shaar Niknor. And the Shaar Niknor had two additional Lishakot on either side. Echas Mimino, Echas Mismolo. One was the Lishka of Pinchas HaMalbish, who was in charge of the Big Day Kuhuna, and Achas Lishkat Osei Chavitin, which we referred to back in Tamid, which is where you would have to get things heated up early in the morning in order to make the Chavitin. That's where they would meet. Now there's a nice picture of the Shaar Pinchas, the Lishkas Pinchas HaMalbish. You can also here see the Pishpishim, which we're going to discuss later. They're on either side of the Shaar Niknor.
Shaar Niknor should be...
You see the...
This Shaar Niknor, right?
What's that?
This should be not Shaar Niknor.
That's inside.
Well, no, that's the one. This one. Somebody like this.
Where are you? On the Azor.
Here,
not there.
Here. No, coming from Mitzrah.
This is the Ezra's Neshem. This is
Shaar Niknor. Oh, yeah. There it is.
So here... You see on either side there's a pishpish for the Shaar, and then there's Lishakot.
This over here.
Is that what they used to go on the Rat one?
With this over here?
No, we didn't talk about this one yet.
Which one did I go into?
That's the Beit HaMokeh. Let's not get confused and try to do two different things at once.
Do you get into the discourse through the pishpish? It's wonderful. Do you get into the discourse through the pishpish?
Listen,
no.
Is it the
pishpish?
Can we wait? The only way to do everything, I mean, the Mishnah is organized. It's called a Seder. If we try to do everything at once, then why did Rebbe have to go to all of this trouble? He could have simply thrown all the information in a couple of maps and said, work it out, guys.
Oh, we're trying to make it more popular.
But we have the Niknor's grave.
So,
on the Mount of Olives.
Okay, one was the Lishka of the Osei Chavitin. And we've already discussed them back in Tamid. Shibitzafon Shaar HaNitzotz, and we talked about why it was called Shaar HaNitzotz, because it was left open so that the light would penetrate there. Chuminach Sadra Haya, and remember that we described back in Tamid when we wanted to know, was there really an Aliyah or did it just mean a tall place? We brought a raya from this Mishnah that it really, the Shaar HaNitzotz was truly an aliyah, because it says that there was an achsadra, the base HaNitzotz, truly an aliyah. Because here it says that there was a like an oksadra, that there is a nice picture of, actually. Remember that an oksadra means an open
porch.
Here we go. Here is the oksadra. An oksadra means you have, like you have down in the cargo, supporting beams with a extended roof. So this was an open porch, and this built up area on top of these beams, which were, even though they look wood, were not wood.
Is that what a portico is?
Yeah, portico. And on top is a true aliyah. That aliyah was the sharan, was the beit hanitzotz that we said before. The beit hanitzotz in the first Mishnah was on top of the shar hanitzotz, and was a real aliyah. And from there we learned out that the meaning of the Mishnah aliyotayu, the bright aliyotayu, was literal aliyah.
So it made it look like a tower.
So the shar hanitzotz, this picture, can you see it?
No, should be there.
The shar hanitzotz is blocked by the heichal in that picture. And then you had the so that was the Kamin Achsadra. Shakonim Shobrim Bilamalam Valavim Lamatan, you remember there was a Machlokas Rishonim, whether that means in that place the Kohanim were Lamatan, or whether based on that in general one can say that Kohanim were put in a more fundamental position of Shmir than the Levium were. That doesn't mean necessarily that there were Levium Lamata, which is dependent on the Machlokas, the Smag and the Rambam, about how many Mekomas of Shmirah there were in total for the Levites. Upetach hayalo lechel, there was an opening there, opened into the chel. And the chel, of course, is the entire area behind this little wall. This was the place where they had the signs warning goyim against entry and so on. So there was a soreg, it was a low wall, that defined this position, which was closest to the actual Azura.
What's the chel?
This area here, this inside area here, 10 amas. And that was a special level of Kedusha, Midrabbanan, a higher level of Kedusha. And the Pesach of the Shar was out to the chel. And Sheni lo Sha'ar HaKorban, and Shlishi lo Sha'ar was the Beit HaMoked. The Beit HaMoked we saw was the binyan here with the kippah, and it itself had a shar in both directions that opened up both into the chel on one end and into the azora on the other end. But it was an actual building inside that had four smaller rooms around it, which we're going to discuss in a moment.
The chel was the Ezer Amos before you got before you got to the.
There's so many different shitas. We're going to be going through it. Let's wait.
Besides this sign for the goy, wasn't there also a picture of Shushan?
No, Shushan was on the main gate and was engraved above. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The Beit HaMoked, continues the next Mishnah, was built with arba lishakota, you Beit HaMoked, kikitoniot tuchot traklin. Like you would have a large auditorium that has small chambers around it. Shtayim b'kodesh v'shtayim b'chol, and two of these, the outermost ones, would be built in the area that wasn't Mikudash, and was chol. Two of them were built in the area that was Mikudash, and there were roshei pishpishim mavdil bein kodesh l'chol. There was markings put onto the walls that had extension of the edge of boards to show up until here is Cho walking beyond. You have to make sure that you're able to come into the Kodesh. Remember, we spoke about those shitas who hold that the reference of the that we're about to have to the Rovdim that we had back in Tanid, the sleeping was in an area that was Cho, not an area that was Kodesh. There the question of the Pishpish was very important. How far in are you allowed to go? So here, some have, by the way, have the Lushan Psipasin. So that it was a mosaic that was built into the floor, and that was the meaning of Roshe. It was a line of psipasim. And here you can see on this map that the main area was over here, indeed, towards the area of the chol that allowed a lot of people to sleep around here, and just the end of the main area became Kodesh, along the inner wall of the Azor. That left you plenty of room. Here they have the picture, I assume this is the road that they're showing you. They have a picture on the edge. What were these four lishakot? So shtayim b'kodesh v'achas b'chol. What were they? Ma hayu mishamshot. Ma'aravit dromit. He hayta lishkat tla'ei korban. We had the lishkat ha'tla'im before. The mizrachit. He hayta lishkat lechem ha'panim. The mizrachit svonit. It's for today. Ba gonzu b'nei chashmonai et avnei ha'mizbeach shikitzu malchei yavan. This was called the lishkat ha'chotamot. Remember, so that was a place where you could buy your nesachim, get a ticket, and its entry. Then it was from the I was in the outside area, because it was on the. Remember, I described this back in Tumim like an X. You start at the bottom. This description starts at the bottom, moves up to the other side of the X, cuts across, and goes back down. Okay, so if you look on your, if you have a nice picture of the Beit HaMoked from the inside. We have a picture, but it's not a nice picture. It's just a pretty horrible picture. So take a look at your map, and it's the one that's marked Lishkat HaChotamot. This is number Mem Aleph. That which is marked Lishkat HaChotamot is what we're referring to here as the place of the Avanim. This is obviously it wasn't permanent. That was not the only use they made of it, but that was the room, and that was in the Chol side. That they took the Mizbeach that was ruined by the Yevanim. And then you had also the Chotamot that were bought over there. Lishkat HaTla'im was on the inside. Osi Lechem HaPanim was on the inside. So those were the two Lishakot. But it makes sense. We're inside of the Kodesh.
The
other one that is called over here, the Yerida LeBeit HaTfilah, you see that in this map? It says Yerida LeBeit HaTfilah. Was not only the Yerida LeBeit HaTfilah. It was also the moked where they actually had the fire. So the Kohanim would go down, the ones who needed the mikveh would go down those stairs. And then when they came back up, this is the area that was kept warm also.
What is this circle in the middle?
That's the moked itself.
So the stairs would sort of go under where the fire was?
No, there were... there was also a fire down. There was a fire downstairs too. We said.
Seems like we're going to get to. This is on the second floor, not the ground floor. I pointed out floor plan. It's on the ground floor.
You're looking in the wrong side.
No, I'm saying
this is the side.
It looks like on the second floor.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just decorative.
Wouldn't that make for a smoky stair?
So it was on the ground floor.
Yeah, there was only one floor.
Yeah,
just that it went all the way up. Take a look in your picture over here. This horrible picture. Here, you can see from the inside that the ceiling was very high, and the kippah was all the way on top. This one was not an aliyah, the other ones were aliyot. Shnayim sharim ayu lebeit ha-moked, achas batuach lachel, ve'achas batuach la'azara. You remember that? There was a small door inside the gate itself, shebo nichnasim livlosh et ha-azara. You remember that when the Kohen would come, he would knock on the door. The Kohanim that were sleeping there, who were the ones in charge of the Maftechot, would take the Maftechot, go through the little Pishpesh, walk around the entire Azara, where they split into two, came back around at the gate, met each other, and at that point they would open up the Shaarim.
And they came in through the same.
Through that little Pishpesh in the Beit HaMoked. Beit HaMoked, Kippah. Now the Beit HaMoked was a roof that had a, how do you say it in English? Yeah, dome on top. Ubayet Gadol Haya was very large. Mukav Rividim or Rovdim was the lashon that we had back in Tamid. Shel Evan. And these were, as the Gemara defined there, these were stair-like extensions of stones. Which had different size stone that was built into the wall. That allowed for a sleeping area, and each area was like a sukkah that you have in the buildings in Yerushalayim. Each area allowed a stepping to the area above it. And each one of those areas was a place to sleep, unless somebody stepped on you on his way up
like
to the next level.
When they had the red, like the bleachers by the Hasidim,
the
bleachers,
there's
an stone.
That's right. So, and here, V'zikne beit av yeshanim, sham maftechot ha'azara biyadam. Again, as we learned in Talmud, that does not mean literally they were holding it while they were sleeping. It means they were in charge of it, which is what the word biyadam means in Hebrew. Again, we understood there. They took off their big day kahuna, put it next to their heads, wore their own pajamas, and that's where they only slept on the floor. We did not bring in beds. The Gemara says in Tamid, because it wasn't COVID to bring beds into there. Everybody slept on the stone. The question is whether they slept on the floor, but they slept on these little bed-like stone affairs. There was a place there built into the floor, underground, in which it was one amma by an amma, and there was a tabla shel shayish that covered this area. It was like a safe. Now there was a little ring that was kavua in it. Now some learn this is a ring that enabled you to pick it up from the top. Others learn that the meaning of this tabat is that it's on the bottom and it was attached to the shasharot on which the keys were, so that when you pulled up the tile, the keys would come along with a chain. And then you would have the keychain. You were able to remove it and go over to the shar. And this was like a safe that made it difficult for anybody to get these keys. And Igiyazman Hani'ila, if it was time now to lock up the Beit HaMikdash, he biyata tabla bitaba'at, so again, this gears the Pashto says you use the tabat to lift up the tabla. Natalata maftechot min ha-shalshelet, you took the maftechot from the chain that was embedded in the floor. V'na'al ha-kohen mi-bifnim, the kohen would lock the doors from inside. The Levi, remember, he was outside because all of his shmir was done outside of the Azara. And he was Yoshen lo, or others have a gears, Yoshev lo, mi-bachutz. Gamar milin o, when all of the gates were safely locked, yichzirat ha-maftechot l'shalshelet, ve'et ha-tabla le-mikoma.
All the gates in Azara.
Yeah, he would insert the keys back into the keychain, lower the tabla with the keychain attached. Natan ksuto aleha, then he would cover that with his clothing and sleep right next to it, yashamlo, and that was a shmira on the keys. Ira keri vechad meyem, if any of these kohanim were roya keri, yotze v'olech lo b'misiba, olech atachat abira, that's why in the map over here they call one of the lishka that's called the lishka of the Beit HaMokeid, they call the Yerida la Beit HaTfila, because that's where there was by the way, there's something wrong with this, because it has the Pispasin. Well, that's fine. There is a shita like that, but it has the Itztaba'ot in the Kodesh side, which wouldn't have been kosher to lie there.
So somebody could be samokid lying, extending out past and into the chil.
Correct. But what do you mean? You mean where the actual
building
was? Yeah. Right. But I mean, it's not necessary because you can put whatever the kedusha, whatever part you want, since it's patuach lechol as well. If it's patuach only lekodesh, you have no choice.
If it's above ground, why should it be a problem?
If it's higher than the level of the floor, but it wasn't. If it's higher than the level of floor, so
it's
not likudash.
Same level as Azar.
Yeah, if it's the same level, there's a discussion about it. Maybe it was made on a higher level to prevent. Sometimes that's why the aliyahs, they used aliyahs specifically to allow for sitting. Okay, what did he do? So he would go down this winding stairway until he got to the Misiba Olecha Tachat Abira. He would go through, we saw back in Tamid, it was Machlokas, Birad, is that a specific place? Or does it mean simply beneath the Beis HaMikdash as a whole? It's called a Bira. Neroto ki mikan umikan, the subterranean passage was lit. Acho magiela beit ha-tvila, and there was a mikvah underground. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov argues, remember, that according to the Rabbanan, the Kohen, after being tovel, was allowed back up and waited until the gates were open, but he would sit with Echav HaKohanim in the Beit HaMokeid, which is a little strange because he's a Tvul Yom, and he should actually be getting out of there. We had a number of different shitas as to why, for some taina, that because he was Nitma Bifnim, there was no takona on getting him out. Others taina that the takona of the Balkari was, remember, that was a new takona where they were marking even the Tfuyon. And that was only if you were going to walk through the Chel as a Balkar, that you weren't allowed. But Mamela, in this case, he's not doing that. So it was mutter for him to sit there. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov argues, and he says that no, he did not come back up. He went through the Mesiba that got him outside of the Chel. So it was not that it was under the Migdash itself. And he would get out of the Har HaBayit through the Shar Tadi. So he walked all the way out to the northernmost reaches, the nether reaches, of the door of the gateway that served no purpose, as we said before, and snuck out through the northern gate. It was somewhat embarrassing to be caught into this position. And so Mamela, some have, by the way, hold that everybody has made it to this last piece. As the Gro learns that Yosef Olech Lo Betadi is not an extension of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but even the Rabbanan are made that a Kohen that was Nikva, when they did open the gates, he would go out through the northern side to get out of the Harabait. Hadron Allah B'Shlosha Mekomot.
The nether.
Now the Harabait itself was Chomesh Meos Ama, Chomesh Meos Ama. This is no longer true. It's very clear. Anybody who looks at the Harabait can easily see that it is not a square by any stretch of the imagination. And what happened is that the area was added to, as we mentioned, there may have been a number of different additions, and it no longer is square, and it is no longer Chomesh Meos Ama, Chomesh Meos Ama either. In other words, even where it's at any point, there's no reason to assume that we have a place that's Chomesh Meos Ama, otherwise we'd have a great way of measuring the Ama.
That platform is strictly around
the platform is an artificial extension of the Harabai.
Wasn't that measured to some?
Yes, it was measured. It turns out that an Ama is 56 point, according to that, which is very large, 56.6 centimeters. But there's no reason to assume that that's the...
It's 250 square meters.
This is Boreas. You know, I heard that many years ago, that there they found original stones,
uh-huh,
early on, and the Waqf or whatever covered them all up, destroyed them.
Oh, that originally they were able to identify where the Chomesh Meos Ama was?
At the bottom of the staircase. There's a staircase going to the raised platform.
Uh-huh.
So on the west side, the bottom level, which is in the ground, is on a different angle. And after the Six-Day War, you were able to see in a different design, now the Herodian design, a boss on it.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it was covered over. So Lee Rittmeyer measured from the edge of that stone,
mm-hmm,
to the eastern wall, came up with a smaller Ama, and it fits with...
Was it square? Ways. Was it a perfect square of Chomesh Meos?
He measured off a square. He has maps.
You mean he didn't have markings side for a square. He just artificially...
He
had one side of the square.
One side. Now the western and the eastern wall are 9 and 5 degrees off, true west and east,
mm-hmm,
which is why Rabbi Koren put the model in the Kotel tunnels on an angle, so it would be due east. That was his shita.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is also in an angle. It's not lined up with the Kotel Maravi. Maybe it fits with that. Mm-hmm. But
okay,
Yaakov is saying is that Rav Shlomo Goren's measurement, which matched shitas of an Ama, was that it's exactly 500 Amas from the present western wall to the present eastern wall. And he obviously it's a right to the shita of the Ama. Which one is it?
But measured from where? The distance of the western wall to the eastern wall is off, depending on if you measure on the northern side, 30 meters. It's 30 meters, I mean, that's a tremendous amount. 30 meters more between the northern side east-west and the southern side east-west. So where did he measure? It's not square. I mean, it clearly cannot be the dimensions that the Mishnah is describing. So to use it as a marker for measurements without knowing what happened is a little bit silly.
East-west on the north is west.
East-west differs depending whether you're... Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's
narrower in the north.
And wider in the north.
Wider in the north, because like that.
Yeah. So you have to, that's why all those pictures are always like off, because they're trying to fit the, you know, the ones where they do the photo montage, where they put the base of Migdash into the existing Harabayit. It always looks strange, because they're trying to fit it in you know, projection dimension. It should work, but it doesn't really work. So this was Chomesh Me'as Amos or Chomesh Me'as Amos. Rubo min ha-dorom. If you're talking about the empty area, in other words, don't think that the Azara was placed smack bang in the middle. It wasn't. Most of the empty area, as you can see clearly in this picture, most of the empty area is on the southern side near the Shari Chulda, because basically that's where everybody was. There's some medayik from the Psukim about the when they came back, by the Chodesh HaShvi, they gathered everybody into the Sha'arim that was above the place where the Mayim was, which is on that area to the south, and that they had the main gatherings, the convention that they had. They brought everybody together to make the various britot that they did at that time, the killing of the Yetzer Hara, all of those Mayim, took place in the southern part, and so it needed to be significantly larger in the Har HaBayit than anywhere else. Sheni lo min ha-mizrach, the second largest area, was the area to the east, because after all, the main entrance to the Azara was to the east. Even if you would come in from the south, you would walk around to the east. Shlishi lo min ha-tzafon.
What do you see the east in this picture? What are you referring to? The big area in the east.
This is the south.
This is the east. That's a small space.
And you have a tiny space to the west.
So why is that considered a big space?
No, this one's bigger.
It's a big one.
Oh, here it's measured better. Here. Remember, this is a projection, so it looks a little strange.
So the east is this area here, you're saying?
That's the second biggest
of that.
Here's the south, it's very large, evidently large. Here's the east.
And that second
and then it gets smaller here to the north, and that is a very small space.
That's showing the 500 amas within the expanded the Rogi Mount at the same time. That's what the smaller one
is. And this picture is not accurate, then. The big picture is not accurate. The big picture is some kind of projection.
It's trying.
This is from the Holy Land Hotel model.
He placed
the Mikdash in the middle of the Arbais and ignored this Mishnah.
Oh, that makes sense. That's what I understand.
So here, this is just... I guess we do need that art scroll picture after all, huh? I don't know what it is you were saying,
saying that what he's trying to do here is have the 500 amos and then show the Herodian expectation.
No, he's not.
No? So no. What is this line
it's
here?
It's the sorry. No, he's not trying to do that.
That's the sorry?
Yeah, this is the Chamesh Me'as Amos here. Yeah. We'll see the different sheet is when we get there. That's not what he's trying to do.
Okay.
But he's measuring off very, very, very carefully here based on the simulator. 265 amas to the south, 115 amas over here to the west, 100 amas to the north, and then you had this tiny little area of 60 some amas to the east, to the west, behind the Beit HaPorot. So this is drawn to scale. And the general rule is Makom Shaya Rov Midato Shom Haya Rov Tashmisho. Basically, the more we needed to use an area, the more it was left untouched by the positioning of the Azara. Kol Anichlasim Lahar Habayit Nichlasim Derech Yamin Umekifim V'Yotzim Derech Smol. When you walk into the Har HaBayit, wherever you walk in, you don't walk straight ahead. In terms of honoring the place, you turn to your right. And you continue to walk around towards your right, so that when you get out of the Har HaBayit, you've walked all the way around to the second nearest gate to where you came into.
So you come in and you walk
so
all the way around.
So you would walk all the way. If you came into the through the eastern gate, you would walk all the way around till you get to the north, go across the north to the west, go down the west to the north to the south, then cut out through Shari Chulda.
So you'd cut, you'd see every gate.
Huh?
You'd see all the gates.
Yeah, you'd see all the gates. The only...
You said the Arabic was from the...
You could go in where you wanted to, but where you went in, you would walk around. Right. Except for somebody who was in trouble. Chutz v'mishir odavar. Someone who, Rachman al-Itzlan, was an Ovel. He was an Avelus. or he was in Nidui, so he wasn't allowed to act like everybody else, where he would go towards his left hand, and then everybody would say, huh, Malacha Makif Lismo, why are you walking in the wrong direction? And he would say, for instance, Shani Avel. So then they could respond to him, Hashochein Bebayit Hazeh Yenachamecha. This way everyone would know that he's a novel, and everybody would be Menachem. Or if he would say, Shani Menudeh, I've been put into Cherem. So they would say to him, Hashochein Bebayit Hazeh Yitain Bilibam, he should say, V'yikarvucha, may the one who dwells in this house put into the hearts of your chaverim to be makariv you, says Rabbi Meir. Omale Rabbi Yossi, if you tell him that, you're blaming everybody else. Why should you blame everybody else? So blame him. Asitem kilo avru alav et adin. You are telling him that it's their fault that they're treating you this way. What you should say to him is, Ashurchein babayit azay yeteni bil libcha, that he who dwells in this house should be makariv you, and put into your heart to do teshuva, and to accept what they tell you, even if you think they're wrong. V'tishmala divrecha v'recha, you should listen to your friends, and then v'yekarvucha, they will once again bring you close to them. Lovely, it's a beautiful social insight. The whole idea. No. That's part of going into the Beis Hamikdash, is that everybody knows and takes a stand as to making you part of the part of the
society.
Hmm?
Yeah. Silence when they walk in, right? I mean, he's not there.
One sheet and the rush, one sheet of understanding the rush, the worst sentence they're saying.